Joe Radinovich is one of those DFL candidates. He grew up in the Crosby area, served in the Minnesota House for one term. He also has worked for Congressman Nolan and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey. And Joe Radinovich joins us now. Thanks for being here.
Great, Heidi. How are you?
Good. Well, let's hear your story a little bit, your background and what led you to get into politics.
Yeah, so I grew up in the Crosby-Arrington area, as you mentioned, and you know, for me, I think the first time I remember being active in the political scene was when I was in the eighth grade and Crosby-Arrington was facing a series of budget cuts, the school was. And so that night, I remember going out to the school board meeting and about 500 other people had come in a town of 2,200. And so it felt like a significant situation. And we all sat there and listened as the number of cuts were going to be read off, you know, things like language class, late bus, all that stuff. And it was a pretty changing moment for me. The next day, the student body all walked out in protest, and I remember feeling like I had registered my opinion, you know, that I had done something to take action. But unfortunately, we often find that, you know, protesting alone doesn't produce the change we want. And so for the next 10 years, Crosby-Arrington dealt with budget cuts, and it was at the end of that stretch that I decided to run for the legislature in 2012. And that's kind of how I got active.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about this Congressional District 8. You know, it's very important in Minnesota right now, but it's nationally significant. What are your thoughts on this kind of time in our politics?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the 8th District over the last couple of cycles has actually been probably arguably the most competitive district in the country. In 2016, more money was spent in this race than any other race in the country, most of it coming from outside sources, which is, I think, a pervasive problem in our political system. But we just know that there are so few competitive seats left in the country because of things like gerrymandering and the polarization of our population that this happens to just be one of the maybe 25 or so competitive races.
So, Joe, let's talk a little more about your hometown of Crosby. You talked about your school experience there and how, you know, small schools facing budget cuts. But growth and community stability are important to so many towns in District 8. And I feel like Crosby's kind of a beacon for making some big changes. Tell us about that and then how you think maybe other communities could learn from Crosby's experience.
Yeah, it's been pretty exciting. You know, I was born in Crosby in 1986, which is about 20 years after the last mining was done in the town. But, you know, the identity surrounding what a town once was is so strong that, I mean, for the most of my early life, I thought I was growing up in a mining community. And what happened was that we were able to make use through some folks in the community with a real vision and through partners in state and local government. The Crosby-Arrington community was able to build up a wonderful mountain bike trail system. And it's brought tens of thousands of people every summer to the area. And I think what it shows is that for me, you know, we're dealing with a changing economy. I think that's probably the most pressing issue facing people across our state and across our country, you know, that the jobs that we're employing, large numbers of people are no longer doing it. And so we're seeing changes in our community. But I think that here in northern Minnesota, we have a lot of opportunity by balancing, you know, some of the things of the past and also embracing an amenity-based economy. And I know, you know, Grand Rapids has taken a number of initiatives in that regard. And to me, if we can, you know, make it so that we have good schools out here and high-speed internet, I think there's a lot of appeal for folks to want to move to this area.
So if you win this seat, District 8 seat, you're representing the citizens who live here. And those are people with a lot of different issues and a lot of different viewpoints. And I know, you know, nationally, certainly it's portrayed as an either-or. It's jobs versus the environment. Mm-hmm. When reality, when you live in northern Minnesota, it's never quite as clear-cut as that. So how do you balance this economy but environment? How would you approach things? Specifically copper nickel mining, I guess, but mining
yeah.
in general.
That's a question that comes up pretty often. And, you know, most of the time right now we're speaking to, you know, groups of Democrats who are looking to vote in Tuesday's primary. And, you know, we're spending off, you know, some time with the, you know, general voters as well. But it's one of the first questions that's always asked. And I think that what people recognize is that we need to balance. You know, on one side of this argument is the argument that says that we need to find the things that we need for life here in the 21st century. And on the other side of the argument, you know, we have folks who say that we have to protect the environment. And I think that we all know that, as you said, it's more complex and that the truth is somewhere in the middle. And so I support strong regulatory processes to evaluate these projects. I don't think that any project that can't be done safely should be done. And, you know, for me, it's really, I think that the appropriate role of the congressperson in this district is to hold the companies accountable to our laws, to the taxpayers by making sure that there are financial assurances and not prejudging these projects for or against.
Let's talk a little bit about what you see for the future of higher ed in District 8. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, the education system here in America could be a real advantage to us. And I think that the reason I got involved in politics is I believe that people, no matter their zip code, should have access to the highest quality education, I think, in the world. I mean, that should be, you know, our mission as Americans is to have the best education system in the world. And I talk a lot about early childhood, but also post-secondary education and the federal role in that. And for me, what I'd like to see is, I don't think it's a radical idea at all, but free two-year community and technical college education. I think that those institutions, because they're local, are nimble, they're very flexible in adapting to changes in the local economy, and they can create a jobs pipeline right in the communities where we most need them. You know, Grand Rapids has one, Brainerd has one, obviously there are many more across the district. And as an example of, you know, what I really like about their creativity, I point to Central Lakes College in the Brainerd area. We've got a retiring population down there. There's additional demand for healthcare workers, nurses in particular. And so Central Lakes College was able to create a four-year nursing program at that two-year school by partnering with St. Scholastica. And that type of ingenuity and understanding of their local community means that, you know, people who either want to train into that role or retrain into that role later in life don't have to pick up and go to Duluth or the Twin Cities to do it. And so I think this is a really wise way to remove barriers people are facing as the economy changes.
And what are your thoughts on how to fund a system like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, a lot of these questions about funding, you know, various programs, including education or healthcare, you know, come down to what our priorities are. And so, you know, we can look back in history when, say, in my parents' generation, community and technical college was free. My dad got to go to Votech for carpentry for free for the first couple years. And we also can see that even in our four-year public schools, that the deal used to be that state government would pay, if tuition costs $3, state government would pay $2, and that the family would be responsible for $1. And that during the 10 years from 2002 to 2012, when our state faced budget deficits, turned on its head. And so I think it's really about making a commitment to education a priority and finding the political will to prioritize funding that over some of the other things we've done. You know, there was a tax cut recently where trillions of dollars in wealth will, go to the top 10% of income earners over the next decade. And, you know, for me, I think it's really about making sure that everybody has access to opportunity.
Let's talk a little bit how you've been approaching this campaign. District 8 is a really large region, a lot of different, even geography in that area, a lot of different kinds of people. How have you met people? What's it been like out there?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty exciting. My favorite part about being involved in campaigns is getting out there and meeting people. I draw kind of an energy from that and an enthusiasm. And, you know, one of the things about the 8th District is it's one of the largest congressional districts in the country. It's the largest district east of the Mississippi. It's 27,000 square miles. And so, you know, we put on 10,000 miles on our car since April, traveling around the district, talking to folks, you know, going to local festivals. And we often hear, you know, pretty common concerns. It's, you know, how am I going to be able to afford health care and the medicines that I need for living? How, you know, are my kids going to afford to go to college? And so even though, you know, we have vastly different regions and people maybe identify kind of differently across this district in some ways, it's still united by many things. So that's been pretty exciting.
I'm looking at your website right now, joelradinovich.com, and here's a hard-hitting question for you, Joe. Is that your dog?
That is my dog, Dakota, yeah. She's her birthday is January 11th, 2011, so it's 1-1-1-1-1. It's always easy to remember, but she's been my sidekick since then.
That's DFL candidate Joe Radinovich. He is running for the District 8 congressional seat. You can find more information at his website. It's joeradinovich.com. Thanks so much. Thanks for taking time.
Thanks, Heidi.